You're listening to the Just Okay Show. That's right. This is the show where you get to be a co-host. What? How many podcasts can you go on as a listener? It's probably quite a few, actually. But this is the first crowdsourced podcast. The first one ever made. That's what I think. My name is Patrick, or Guido, and this show has a strict open-door policy. You know what that means. There's a door, it's unlocked, anyone can barge right in. All you have to do is show up on this Discord server, discord.gg/justokay, and hop in the channel while we're recording. Using the stage feature. Until I figure out a better way. There's got to be a better way, or maybe there's not. Maybe this is the best. But you just hop into this channel, and you request to speak, and then we get you on. We get you in here. Now, all that I ask is that you have something that you want to talk about, or just a story you want to tell. Funny story, sad story, a made-up story. Characters are good. We had a character last week that was pretty good. I enjoyed talking to that character. Oh, boy. We played that trivia game. You guys remember that? Lots of food stuff. Lots of difficult food questions on that trivia game. That's okay. I appreciated the attempt at creating something, and it can be workshopped and made better, I think. So yeah, if you want to make a game or something too, come on in. Let's do it. Let's play some Circle Jerk. You guys remember that thing that we used to do? Hop on in here and let's do it. We're Just Okay, and this is a show. It's the Just Okay Show. All right, we're six episodes in. You're listening to the sixth episode. It's 6 weeks in a row that this has been done. That's not bad. I wonder what episode most podcasts stop on. I would guess probably around this point. Around this point is when they're like, it's a lot of work. And getting people to show up is tough. Having the co-host schedule something every week. It's like a D&D game, except you gotta be there. You gotta be consistent. You know? And it doesn't matter if the kids are sick. If you got a hemorrhoid. It doesn't matter if you gotta take the car into the shop. You still gotta be there. You gotta make the content. Everybody demands the content. Whew. Boy. What a strange content-filled world we live in. I have a kid, and that kid's 17 years old. And everything is content. Like, she doesn't have any idea about just what I went through when I was her age. Even this, Christmas time, you ask them what they want for Christmas, they don't know because there's no commercials anymore. That's what I had. I had commercials. I wanted some creepy crawlers, which was like, it was Easy Bake Oven for boys, but you couldn't eat the end result. You just got like some plastic gummied worms and stuff that you could play with. But it wasn't edible, which they should have just made them gummy worms. They probably took that to the, research and development team, and they figured that out. But the first prototype that they sold was just these plastic things. And who wants to? Well, I guess the fun is making you mix up the concoction, the like paste, and then you pour it into molds, and then you put it in your creepy crawler easy bake oven, and it bakes it for a second, and then you just get this rubbery thing. And then what? What's a boy to do after that? Or girl? Or girl? What are they supposed to do? You just have some worms. I guess he could play a prank, but all the worms were like neon colors. What a strange toy. Made a lot of strange toys. But it's Christmas time. You know what that means? Company Christmas parties. We all got them. Nah, that's not true. I really don't have one. I work in the public sector. So we don't have that corporate Christmas party. We don't have the thing where you go to some place and you get some drinks or something, or they have it at the ballroom at the local Marriott, and everybody shows up, and Janice from accounting gets way too drunk and starts saying like racist things. We don't have that with the parks department. But I did get to go to one. I got to go to a corporate party. When was that? Two nights ago, this past Friday. And that was interesting. I went with my girlfriend and went to her corporate kind of deal. And they rented out this place where it's mini golf. It's indoor mini golf. And there's sections separated throughout this place. And then there's a room that you can go into and you get all sorts of props, whether they be ramps or fences or just like obstacles. And then you place them on these greens and you build your own mini golf hole. And then everybody gets, you're broken into teams, and then everybody gets, I don't know, 30 minutes to build their hole and try it out, set a par, name the hole. And then once that's done, you get like an hour to go and play everybody else's holes. That's the premise. In theory, it sounds okay. It sounds pretty fun, maybe. But the time constraints, I feel like they needed, at this one particularly, they needed what is it called? Examples. That's it. Example holes. They needed some example holes because you go in there with all these people and they just had a few drinks and then they're like, okay, go make a mini golf hole. And nobody has like an idea that there's holes in the ground and then a pad that you tee off from. They don't have an idea of like what constitutes a good mini golf hole. Luckily, my team had me, a brilliant golfer and strategist. So we go into the room. Actually, everybody just ransacks the room. They go in, they just grab whatever they want. So I just stood on the green and I waited for my four teammates to go and just like, oh, this looks cool. This looks neat. And then bring it back to me. And that's where I went into full on strategy mode. And I was pointing and I was saying, put that there, put this there. Essentially, they got to pick the items. I built the hole, made the best hole. It started out with the tee off. You just, there was like a broken slide, like a kid's playground slide, a whole full-size, probably 4-foot-long slide. And I propped it up real high, and that was how you started out. You didn't even use your club to tee off. You just dropped it down the slide and went down this little Plinko thing. And then you had to, like, get it up this cornhole thing and into the hole of the cornhole, so you had to shoot it up a ramp and get it in the hole. Not bad. I designed it pretty good. Pretty good hole. Had it all set. It was a par of three. And then we went to the other holes. And boy, oh boy, it looked like like you were just walking through a junkyard. People just put stuff out. And then you'd hit it around. There's no rhyme or reason. They didn't set up bumpers like I did. that kept them in the constraints of the holes. And it was frustrating. There were one or two good holes, but for the most part, it was just a gosh darn junkyard. And you know what you get at a junkyard? You get a junkyard dog. And that's what I turned into. I was just a jerk the rest of the time. Man, Janice from accounting, she had nothing on my racism. No, that's not true. I'm not a racist guy, especially at a corporate party. But man, this party was at like 6 o'clock and they didn't, there was like snacks out, a couple pretzels and stuff. But man, I gotta eat. We all gotta eat. That was the biggest complaint was, hey man, you expect us to show up here and eat some finger foods, some pretzels and stuff? Not having it. I wonder what the best corporate party would be. I know a lot of people don't like them. Definitely not. They don't like the corporate parties where you're forced to go. I've seen people complain about mandatory corporate parties, and then you have to pay like $25 to get to it. That doesn't seem right. And also probably isn't a majority of what corporate parties are. I'd assume that they're, you know, the corporation or your employer paying for the party, right? Should be that way. But I know a lot of people don't like going to them. Me in the public sector, everything that we do is we have to pay for. So our party is going to be, you know, in early January, and we're all just going to bring like some cookies and a couple brats or something and cook them in our service yard during hours. That's it. No beer, no booze. You do some work for the first half of the day. Second half of the day, you just get to eat some grub, some good old Aldi generic brand Oreos and a couple of better cheddars. That's our party. Private sector, I wonder if they'd prefer, like, to get a gift card or the option. You can come to the party. It'll be a nice, fun party, a $50 per person kind of thing. And it should have a bar, at least a keg that's free. But have the option of like, hey, after work, you can come to this party. You have some drinks. You have some food on us. You be festive and merry with your coworkers, or if you don't want to do that, tell you what, we'll give you a $30 gas gift card. You take it down to your local mobile, like Exxon station, and get a tank of gas. I wonder how many people would take the tank of gas over the party. And I think I'd go to the party. Maybe. After hours, that's a stretch. Maybe I'd just take the gas. That's what I would do if I was having that party. Listen, if you're the one in charge of the parties, get the food. Get everyone some good old food. And some drinks and whatnot. That'll be great. I wonder who's in charge of those parties. It's not many people. It's one person out of a whole office space, right? Just one person has all that power to plan that thing. I don't like it. At least this one that I went to was active. It had a goal, although that detracted from, I like didn't get to know anyone, although it's not my place to get to know. I was there to, you know, support, you know, my girlfriend and be, you know, the arm candy for her and just be somewhat charming and don't say anything stupid. And I delivered. In fact, and I made the best hole. I made the best mini golf hole. Oh, Christmas is coming up. Christmas. What do you guys think about that? Hanukkah's over. Christmas coming up. Hanukkah, done. It's all over. I was thinking of like Christmas traditions. And when I was younger, we never opened gifts on Christmas morning, which some people are very surprised by that. Some people are like, yeah, we always opened them on Christmas Eve. When we went to church, when I was real young, we'd go to church and, you know, my kids, sorry, if there's kids listening to this, maybe shut it off. But Christmas Eve, we'd go to church and my dad would be like, oh, I forgot my wallet, and run inside and go grab all the presents, put them in the under the tree, and then come back outside. And then we'd go to church and we'd come home from church on Christmas Eve and all the presents would be out. And he'd explain it away in like, oh, yeah, he's just getting a head start on you guys. And we bought it, hook, line, and sinker, baby. We were like, oh, where are the special ones? He started with us? Wow. All right. Yeah, he's got a lot of presents to deliver. It's good to start early. He's a real self-starter, that Santa Claus. I wonder what his corporate party's like. Just a bunch of elves running around. They probably have it after Christmas, right? They don't have it during crunch time. Unless their whole year is a Christmas party. That's what the North Pole's like, right? It's just a Christmas party all the time. What a nightmare. Anyways, that was our tradition, Christmas Eve. So I've never had that experience of waking up and going down to the tree and seeing all the things. Never. Not once. Sometimes we go to this place called Candy Cane Lane. Candy Cane Lane is just this group of houses in like probably, five by two block radius that all at this time of year like deck out their houses in lights. And then you drive through the streets and look at the lights. I wonder how many, there's got to be people that have that in other areas. That's got to be all over, right? I wonder if people in Texas or down south or something have that. I've never experienced Christmas where it's not been cold and Christmassy. That's my interpretation of Christmas. But there's like in San Diego, do they have like a little neighborhood that's all decked out that people go to look at Christmas lights? They must. But we go to Candy Cane Lane, look at those after church, after Christmas Eve mass. Boy, church. Oh, boy. Yeah. What about Hanukkah traditions? I don't know anything about Hanukkah. I know it's over. I think it's what, 8 days, right? wish right now we had someone that was Jewish and knew much about Hanukkah that would request to speak. Fill me in on all the details about Hanukkah. I'd have at least 3 questions. There's got to be some Hanukkah tradition. Do they wait until morning of the last day of Hanukkah and have the big present? Or is the big present first? Do they do the big present first and then you kind of get stocking stuffers? Do they get less as you go? I'd assume, knowing nothing, that it's a buildup. You start with a pair of socks on the first day. And then maybe like the fourth day, you get like a phone charger. Or like a little carrying case for something, or, you know, who knows, a little toy. And then the last day is the big ticket item. You know, the iPads, the PlayStations, whatever have you. The creepy crawler machines. That's all the last days. Huh. I don't know. Maybe, would it be wrong of me to try Hanukkah? A year? Can I do that? Look, as a former Catholic, practicing Catholic when I was younger, I invite any sort of other religious person to partake in Christmas, give it a shot, do a trial run, you know, non-committal. Would it be wrong of me to give Hanukkah a try? I don't think so. Yeah, maybe I'll give that a shot next year. Just me and the kid. Every day, present. You get 8 presents, at least 8 presents this year. You're not getting more than like 5 presents this year. But, you know, the kid always wants expensive stuff. So, but I'd like to build it up. That seems like the way to go. Anyways, Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Ooh, Kwanzaa would be another one. I don't know anything about Kwanzaa. I'm really projecting my ignorance here. Huh. Is Kwanzaa... Oh, boy, I'm digging a hole here. I'm digging a hole, and the hole's filling with water. Does Kwanzaa do a spread-out thing like Hanukkah, or is it a day? I thought Kwanzaa was at least a period of time. It wasn't just a day, but I have no idea. Man, so many different traditions. Well, we're here to celebrate all of them. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. All the jazz. All of it. I'm sure I'm missing some. Merry Krampus. Okay, doke. What do you guys think? Should I open up this door? Should we see what's to offer out here? Before the show started, this is kind of an impromptu. A little bit, because I'm pretty busy this next week. It's Sunday right now. If you're listening to this in the coming week, you would be because it doesn't come out until Wednesday. But it's Sunday now, the Sunday before that Wednesday, and it was a little impromptu. So just threw out a topic. The topic was, what is the most physically demanding thing you've done? What's that thing you've done that was really hard to do physically? I don't know if the topic thing is working. I don't know if the topic thing's working. I'm there's a few things we got to rethink here. But yeah, we'll see. Let's pop open the door. I still haven't made a segue either, man. I'm slacking here. Let's pop open the door, see what we get here. Oh, there's a person that would like to talk. I'm going to invite them to speak right now.
Well, hello, Guido.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the show. What's your name, sir or madam?
You know, I do go by sir. It's a bit controversial, but I go by Drunk Off Scotch.
Oh, the Drunk Off Scotch?
Yes, sir. Hey, and I just want to say what a pleasure to be on such a, I guess, honored podcast such as yours. I know we're up here in the realm of like Andrew Huberman, Joe Rogan. I see that we have about 10,000 active listeners right now. I can only imagine what you're going to have in the next week when you go live.
Yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. I'm glad you could get in before the tidal wave takes over.
Yeah, I was very surprised, you know, and I wasn't expecting this at all. I have nothing prepared. So just, you know, I'm ready to shoot the shit, as they'd say. You know, and oh, by the way, happy Festivus.
Oh, Festivus. Milwaukee has a Festivus festival where they put up a big giant steel pole in the middle of a popular bar district. And then everybody does their airing of the grievances and has feats of strength.
Oh, yeah, we can't do that here in Omaha because everybody just grieve all day. Lots of grievances.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's Omaha.
It's fucking Omaha, man. Hey, you know what? I got here 2.5 years ago, man. Right about the time we were out at Utah is right when I got here. And I'll tell you what, man, Omaha, fucking surprising. Nice little town. Not the worst.
Yeah, it's flat and spread out, isn't it? It's pretty sprawling.
Pretty fucking flat, a little sprawly, but not too built up. But damn, really good food scene. Can't complain.
Oh, yeah, food in Omaha, huh? What's the Omaha specialty?
It's oh my God, what is it called? The Reuben. It was invented here.
Oh, I love a Reuben.
Yeah, the Reuben sandwich was invented in Little Old Omaha.
Okay. Just corned beef. That was probably some Jewish fella.
Oh, no doubt, man. And, you know, they're probably still just taking down their menorahs right now, but maybe playing dreidel, gambling around. But nothing hot about the Hebrew religion right now. Nothing heated, nothing even talk about. So.
No, nothing going on right now.
Yeah, pretty boring.
Guido,
I was going to say, what's a tough thing you've done, man? Like, I know you've gone through some physical adventures, maybe a weight loss fitness journey over the past few years.
that's the most obtuse physically demanding thing I've done. It wasn't like over the course of a day where you're just dead tired and you end up passing out after being drained. It was just, and it wasn't that hard. It's more mentally tough than physically tough. Losing a large amount of weight. But physically, man, yeah, I don't know. I've had some surgeries and stuff where I've been put on my ass a little bit. When my appendix came out, that was pretty tough. I had to, I feel like constipated or something for a day. And then I wake up the next morning, just a shooting pain in my side. And I'm like, I'll call in sick today and I'll give it a couple hours before I go into the hospital because, it's just a stomach ache and it's a bad one, but I'll get over it. Yeah, I'll walk it off. And then I just spend the full 8 hours that I gave myself lying in a fetal position in my bed, like in cold sweats, just shaking and shivering.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I love that.
Until eventually I drove myself to urgent care. I was like, it's pretty bad. I should probably go to urgent care, which every single bump along the way is just a stab, like a stab from a serrated knife in my side. Mm-hmm. And I get to urgent care and the lady's like, dude, come on, man. It's obvious your appendix is like about to burst. You should have just gone straight to the hospital, not to urgent care, because now you just have to drive from here to the hospital. We can call you an ambulance, but this is America. You don't want to pay for that taxicab ride.
Fuck that. No, we're not in Canada.
No, not at all. So I went to the hospital, and then, of course, the doc in the emergency room comes in, and he's like, you idiot. You should have been here 2 days ago, because we have to get this out within the hour. Or else you're in big, big trouble. So then, I got the surgery and everything, and that surgery isn't horrible, but it's also not pleasant. They did it orthoscopically, so a bunch of tubes go in you, and they use robot hands and stuff. But they have to fill you up with air. They have to fill the incision mark up with air so that they can navigate all those tools. And that air bubble, went into my back, and I ended up having this shooting pain worse than the incision mark, worse than much of it that was just located in the small of my back for some reason. And I couldn't sleep. I slept sitting up, couldn't put my back against any. Yeah. That was a tough one. But, and then I went to Washington, D.C. like 2 days later on a trip with the cops.
I just want to say, I love the fact you're like, dude, it kind of sucks. I'm just going to walk this thing off. And you're trying to walk off appendicitis. I get a fucking a nick in my lower back and I'm like, this kind of hurts. I'll go to the hospital. I'm not walking that off. You're over here just, borderline life or death. I guess I'll go. Is that just because you're used to living in the fucking up north cold Parks and Rec? You're just a hardworking man. I don't know. I'm maybe such a pampered office bitch.
It probably has to do a bit of with being in blue collar work of, you go in and you got a hangnail or something, you got a cold and you're dealing with a bunch of ex-convicts and stuff that have had all sorts of tough lives. And they're like, get over it, you sissy, whatever. There's just no reason to be feeling bad about yourself. And it's a very masculine forward environment. So there's no coddling whatsoever. I think that was probably just beat into me.
Well, dude, hey, thanks for sharing that with me, man. That's pretty cool. And kudos to your journey on fitness. I mean, like you said, it's not an acute thing. It's not like some short temporal challenge. Yours was like this long discipline challenge, which is mental as much as it is physical. And like, damn, dude, I'm proud of you. That's awesome.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah. If anyone is thinking about it, I mean, if anyone's like overweight, I know what you're thinking. I know all the thoughts. Just do it. Just start, man. And it's okay to be hungry. What do you need? A little snack? Huh? You need a little snack. You need just a couple of Cheetos. Grow up. Grow up. Take a nap. You can't eat when you're sleeping.
Fuck yeah. Well, hey, I guess it's been a while since we've talked, just a quick update on me. Sorry to like go 180. If you don't know, I'm ADD. I love to talk. Recently got married, man. I stopped drinking alcohol shortly after the time in Utah. And so now I guess I'm like more like sober off scotch. I don't know, I'll go by drunk, you know,
sober from scotch.
I'm still in the sober from scotch, man. Yeah. That Utah trip, man. Talk about some of those drinking games.
Right. That was a tough one.
That was good, man. No, it was a good time though, but got to a new job here, man. Just didn't have time to play around anymore. Still in the Air Force, still a fucking anime nerd, you know, manga nerd, still love video games. I'm always turned on, but when you guys are talking about human performance and exercise, that's still a big passion of mine. So I'd love to get in on some of that. Talking about a hard thing. So I went out as a second lieutenant, just young, dumb, drunk off scotch in the Air Force. Don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. And they sent me to, it's like a special operations training tryout. And it's kind of like a air rescue officer. They call them battlefield airmen.
Okay.
It's 1 week long. And nothing by itself is tough, except you're just 5 a.m. You start running, getting your dick, you know, kicked in the dirt. And then that goes on until about 9 o'clock at night. And you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I get to sleep in this little cot. And they're going to let me chill. No, fuck that. Midnight, they kick in the door, wake you up. And they give you like a little mental challenge, some fucking homework. The thing you don't want to do when you're tired is fucking homework, man. I don't want to do that. So they start wearing you down. And by the fourth day, you go into a 24-hour day. And I get the nickname Will Ferrell, because every time the instructors would start breaking people down, I'd make jokes, try and get guys to laugh. And to give you an idea, we started off with like 200-ish people. By the time we get to that 24-hour day, we're down to about 50-ish.
Wow.
And, you know, we start off in the pool, you know, do the whole like drowning, people jumping around, having a good time, swimming in our uniforms and our backpacks. And, you know, people are like, did you waterproof your ruck right? How do I know? Because when your ruck pack goes in the water, you hope it's fucking waterproof because all your shit's going to get wet. Right. Oh, I asked, I was like, yeah, how do I know? They said, it'll fucking sink. And dude, it's the funniest shit ever. You see a bunch of people throwing their shit in the water and you see like one out of every 10 start sinking. Oh, that guy's fucked. It's the best. Now their extra pair of shoes are fucking wet. Everything's fucked. And you know, you're going to be rocking all day through these mountains in Colorado. And one guy's fucking call sign's Thor. He shows me his feet later on because he has no dry boots. Oh man, it's bad. His feet are sloughing off. It's a good time. Sorry to get disgusting, but oh man, we're going through and it's like now, it's now like midnight. We've been grinding since 5 a.m. Now it's midnight the next day. And I'm just fucking making jokes. And every time I do, they crush my soul. And at one point, our captain is missing. I'm like, where the fuck did the captain go? They're like, oh, they got medevaced. I'm like, what? Yeah, they were pissing blood. Their kidneys were shutting down. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so we just keep going through, grinding. And I'm a bit, like I said, man, I was always making jokes. I wasn't very good at following the rules. And we get to the end, and I'll save you some details. It's like now 5 a.m. We've been going at 24 hours. No clue how many people are left. And they have us run back to camp. And then they play one more fucking game with us. And they're like, hey, man, everybody's going to lay down. You're going to go and hold a plank. And they just give us this thing. You think you guys are done? You're not done. You still got another 2 hours left. The bus ride didn't count. You still got two more. We're going to go fucking one more time up the mountain. No quitting. You know, there's no fucking getting back. We're just going to leave your ass if you quit. You just find your way back to camp. And I'm thinking, Guido, I'm like, man, my stomach's so fucked. I can't even eat my fucking food. They're like, you have 5 minutes to eat your fucking food. And we eat our food. They put us back in the dirt. They said, raise your right leg heads down, if you want to quit now. And they're going around the different instructors and they're like, hey, drunk off scotch, fucking red lights on over at Krispy Kreme. Now's the time to quit. You did good, man. You did good. Now's the time to quit. Now they start playing mental games. And at that moment, I had this fucking, I hope I die. I'm not going to quit. I hope I go in this ruck and I die and this dude gets in trouble. That's where I was at mentally. It's hard to describe how fucking mentally broke you are. Like you just, it's hard to describe, but I was just like, I hope this dude gets in so much trouble and fired and I die on this ruck. And you hear people getting up, shuffling. Apparently people are quitting. And then they call you to attention. Everybody jumps up. They said, go to bed, get showered, go to bed. And that was the last thing. They knew they had broken us. And we're all looking at each other like, what the fuck? And look around, there's like 25 of us left. And nobody quit after that, man. We get all the way to day 7. I'm going to speed up again. And they stop with the this crazy fitness test at the very end. I can't even do air squats anymore. I can't hold a squat. My legs are fucking gone. I'm, you know, phoned into fucking full body cramps occasionally. And I'm like, what the fuck have I signed up for? And they get us to the end and they give us a pep talk. And they're like, guys, this job in the Air Force, highest suicide rate, highest injury rate, highest divorce rate. You know, you're going to be blessed to serve your country. And then they tell us who gets picked. 14 out of 25 get picked. They reinvite me. They say, dude, automatic reinvite. Here's what you fucked up. They told me what I did wrong. Brutal feedback. They're like, you're insubordinate. You didn't listen to orders all the time. You were always joking, doing your own thing. But if you come back, fix those things, guaranteed. I'm like, fuck yeah. Dude, I was so motivated. We're going to go fucking take back the Middle East. I'm going to do it single-handedly, man. Bro, I got to the airport, got to the airplane, and I had a pizza and a beer. And I thought about what they were saying. I had that beer and that pizza, and I said, oh, fuck that. That shit's not for me. All of a sudden, reality came back. I was like, that shit fucking sucks. Those dudes are different kind of animal. And I was like, yeah. Best worst time I've ever had in my life. What a fucking physical challenge. But I just loved making jokes the whole time. I love trying to make people feel better and just telling jokes. And that's where they call me Will Ferrell. But man, yeah, definitely like the hardest thing I've ever done. No, apparently like telling jokes about mentally handicapped people and things like that and just being inappropriate all the time. It rubs them the wrong way. So,
well, you're all in the military, so.
Oh yeah, man. But I know they're looking for those guys that just follow the orders, push and listen better. And you know, fucking, I think I was like 24, man. I wasn't ready to listen. I was just at the time still drinking hard, partying hard, and just going crazy. But yeah, what a fucking great time that I'd never ever want to do again.
What was it? What branch was this?
It's the Air Force. And this would be the guys. Yeah, it'd be the officers that are in charge of like the guys that do rescue training, like we got the PJs, TACPs, and some of our other combat specialties. But we have a very small branch. We're not, you know, we're the chair force. We're best known for sitting in chairs and doing paperwork and flying. But there's a small group of them, and they're pretty cool, man. They're great guys. They're the guys that jump in the water and save people are going for hostage, or they're also like prepared medics. So they're really good dudes, man. All those guys, hats off to them. But that's not for me, man. And then they said, hey, man, you want a fucking great job doing nothing, sitting in front of a computer the rest of your life? I said, fuck, why not? So here we are, eight more years left. We'll see where we go from there.
8 years left, huh?
Man, we'll see. I think I go up for my next board for promotion next year. And if that happens, then who knows, man? I'm looking forward to the other side and maybe be a masseuse. Brendanis, you know, he got me fucking motivated. So yeah. Go put these man hands on somebody, go work out some stress bubbles for people.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be your career projection right there. Some massage. What a career leap that would be.
I love the whole like health and fitness, and I'd love to go back to doing, you know, my degrees, exercise, sports science. And I just recently finished my master's and, congrats. You know, yeah, dude, what a awesome time. Never do that again. but yeah, man, get to the other side and just be a civilian, man. Just fucking help other people out and not wear a uniform and shave every day. I think that's what most military people would talk about, is not having to shave every day.
Really? Just shaving is what gets you?
Bro, I'm telling, well, some of us, man, you just like, I get a 5 o'clock shadow at fucking 8 in the morning you get little razor bumps. It's the little things, I guess, after, you know, yeah, I guess I'm maybe it's a choice, face, so. Not having a choice. Oh, right. Yeah. Jealous about that, man. Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah, freedom
should,
of choice,
they
right?
They should
that's
make the baby faces go right into the military. You know, then it's two birds, one stone. They get a bit of structure and they don't have to shave ever.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah. That's it. Just an all-volunteer force of baby faces.
Yeah. And then it wouldn't be as imposing, I guess, maybe. Don't you want your military men on the front lines to be bearded?
Hey, that's a great argument, man. We're still fighting that battle here, trying to get those rights. We finally gave women the right to like grow out ponytails now. So like they used to have to put them up in these crazy buns, which give them headaches. Just in the past couple of years, we're like, you know what? That's kind of misogynistic, old school. You guys can have ponytails. It's probably better for your scalp. And we're still waiting for men to get a fucking shaving waiver, you know, for everybody, forever.
Right. Scalp health is important.
That's what I'm learning, man. But, you know, that's not a thing for most men in the military. We just end up shaving it eventually.
So if there was like another program like that, but for old guys like you, old in the sense of military, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That was probably a little less intense, but still gave you some sort of accreditation or I don't know, medal or something, whatever they give you guys. would you do it? Would you take them up on it?
I don't think so, man. Now that I'm married, I just want to spend more time with my wonderful wife. And yeah, she, you know, she's also the same thing. She's a personal trainer and runs a gym out here at LinkedIn in Omaha. Funny enough, they have three headquarters for LinkedIn. One's here in Omaha. Nobody knows that, but she runs their gym and does personal training. So I think I'd like to join her in that, man. And doing that stuff just takes me away from her. Like that shit, you're just always deploying or going TDY, you know, going out to other places. I'd rather be, you know, 8-to-5 job, come home and see my family.
So you got married. We saw each other, what was that, 2 years ago?
I think it was about early October 21.
Yeah. And you have found, dated, engaged, and married a woman in that time.
That is correct, man. And wow, what a funny story, because, yeah, we went out for coffee, and I was using one of these stupid apps called Hinged. You ever heard of that thing?
Yeah, that's what I used to find my gal.
Oh, did you really? No shit. Yeah, man, it was good. And we went out, and it was my third date on Hinged, and we did one date, and I just deleted the fucking app after that. And I think about 3 weeks into it, you know, Ukraine got invaded by Russia. And so I ended up going on these weird 12-hour shifts for 18 days from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. And I was on this little crisis team for where I work. And I think for a year and a half, I was on crazy schedules, man, just crazy schedules. And she stuck with me the whole time. And again, that's finishing the degree. So I would fight for just time to see her, man, and make it happen. But, you know, I guess if a soulmate exists, I guess about as close as I can get. So you get really lucky if you find somebody that you feel that way about.
When did you marry?
October 27th.
Oh, so it's pretty new still.
Oh, very new, man. Yeah, we moved in together back in March, though. When I found out I was going to get off the shift work and I got a new job in the same building, taking a break from Intel for a year, working from somebody else.
That's good.
I'm now, I guess the best way to say is I'm an office bitch. I take care of a general, you know, rub his feet, rub his shoulders, read paper for him.
Yeah. Does write he like for
you? Him. Yo, dude, that's a great question. He's a good dude, man. He's just ADD. He's worse than I am. ADD. So it's just like, I know, dude. So I got to pretend to be serious for 12 hours a day because I'll get there before him. I leave after him. But it's good, man. You learn a lot from these guys. You know, they don't become generals because they're fucking idiots. He's a pretty smart dude.
What's your holiday plans? Do you have any furlough time or anything?
Yeah, man. We're I get 12 days off starting next Thursday. I took 5 days of leave in conjunction with the normal holidays. And we're going to go out to San Francisco and Sequoia National Park.
Oh, I just went there kind of in that area last year on a little drive through. We went up to San Francisco and then we drove south down to Monterey Bay.
Monterey.
Like Pebble Beach area, Scenic 17. It's a beautiful drive right on the coast. And then we went up to like there's like a glass beach, something like that. I don't know. We went up the coast up, and then back down and left from San Francisco again. And it's great. It's beautiful. Are you guys like driving around? Are you renting a car and stuff?
Yeah,
like
dude. That? So we're going to get a rental. We're going to land Christmas night of all times in Fresno, which I know it's going to be pretty much impossible to get a rental. So just going to crash there for the night at a hotel, get the rental, 2 days at Sequoia, 2 days at San Fran, and then come back and decompress. But it's going to be good. And it's funny you brought up Monterey. I'm moving in the summer. Don't know where. I'll find out in January. But one of the 16 jobs I'm up for, one was Monterey. So I've heard good things.
That'd be a pretty good get.
Oh, they're all good gets, man.
Oh, are they? What's some of the other options?
So the top five, it's like a weird game show kind of thing. I rate the jobs I'm able to go to from like, you know, 1 to 16. And then I, you know, that's called bidding. They then can see at the end of like the 1 week where I'm rack and stacking them, those billet owners or whoever owns that job can then bid on me. Or they can say, we don't want this dirtbag. And you can fucking see if they say yay or nay. You don't know if you're their number one, their number two. But out of the top 10, I got 9 out of the top 10 to bid back on me, but it was, we got Japan, Germany, Hawaii, California, and New Mexico.
Oh, your those would be the top five. Needs to go to Japan, doesn't he?
Dude, I'd love it, man. It's a great job too. It's a good work life out there. I know some people out there. It's a great mission. And that'd be just fucking great, man. Oki, I know it's a smaller island south, but you can still fly out to Japan for like $125.
Yeah. No,
it's not too far. Get on that bullet train, see if Brad Pitt's out there hanging out.
Yeah, he often does. He hangs out wherever where you can find him, only in the places that are revolving around a movie that he's made.
Exactly. And this is why I'd like to go there.
Yeah. That's cool. You got to meet Brad Pitt on a bullet train or in a fight club somewhere, probably.
Yeah, but nobody ever talks about that shit. It's hard to find them.
Yeah, that's true. I don't even know how I know about it. Christmas. Do you guys have a military party?
Dude, yeah. So we do have a military party. We just had ours, and it's really low key. So the office I work in, it's a 4-star, a 3-star, and a 2-star general, which may not mean much to people, but you don't go any higher than a 4. And it's very intense to be around those people. They have a lot of gravitas. They're very serious. All they care about is work. So the Christmas party with them was during the duty day, and we just showed up and we ate a bunch of chips and soda and we listened to them talk, and then it was back to work. So that was a wonderful party.
Okay, so it's not too much different from mine, also in a public sector kind of thing.
But yeah, we're both public servants. I mean,
yeah, they don't give us much in terms of appreciation.
Oh God, dude, they can go spend $1 billion on a fucking bomber, but God bless if they spend any money on a holiday, right?
Yeah, but hey, at least sometimes you're thanked for your service. I'm never thanked for my service.
But what do you say for that shit? Even if they didn't, they're like, Guido, thank you for your service. What do you say back to them?
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, I like that. I'll just use that from now on. I heard the corniest one the other day, man. I stole it. It goes, hey, thank you for your service. And you look at them and try and be serious and go, hey, you're worth it. Even though they're probably not. They're probably shitbags.
Oh, boy. But, no, man, they're all worth it, Guido. Didn't they beat that India? Your nation's great and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, I'll keep my own political views off and, my thoughts of 2024, you know?
Yeah.
2024. I'm like the,
No, we'll get you
it's
on
coming back, dude.
Closer. We'll get you on closer to the election as our political correspondent.
Oh shit. Yeah, we'll do it, man. We got to get, see if you can bring Nasty back in and hear his perspective. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, Nasty will be back. He's on a roundabout little excursion right now.
Oh, yeah. He's out there still finding himself in his traveling mobile.
Yep. You know, usually people do this in their 20s, but, you know, he's getting closer to 40 and still trying to figure out.
Fucking A. Some people never find out, man. They just fucking fake it till they make it, you know?
Yeah. I just stopped looking, honestly. I was like, I'll just be lost.
That's not a bad place to be, man.
Yeah. Someone will throw me a bone and tell me where to go sometimes. And I appreciate that.
Fair enough, my friend. Well, one more question for you. Do you have a big Christmas plan? Because I feel like you asked me, I got to ask you. I know you got your kid, you got your new woman. What's going on?
No, just the general round robin of family visits. It's nothing special, nothing super, you know, that I'm looking forward to. I got to meet, it wouldn't be the first time, but I got to spend some time with her extended family. That's still pretty new to me to do with her. And that's an interesting dynamic of walking into an environment where everyone is so tight knit and knows all these stories about each other. And you're just this outsider. But I think the way to approach that, if anyone's doing this, what I'm telling myself is people like to have someone new to tell their stories to.
Goddamn
right.
So if
you just ask questions about, you know, what's an embarrassing thing that happened to Nana, or, you know, something like that. Just any kind of prompt to give them an opportunity to tell you a story that everybody else at the party has heard a billion times. They love you for it. And that's
so if you want to be you could also take my approach and you flip it 180, because I want to be the center of attention. So I would go when I met Kimmy's my wife. When I met her parents, I wore a red hat with the numbers 2024 on it. And that's just a great conversation starter, because you don't know where they're going to lean left or right.
Yeah, that's
just not good.
I mean, that's a little
advice.
Bit kicking the beehive, right?
Even if you don't believe it, man, you just take something very controversial.
No, I'd do the opposite of that. I just wear a gray hat with a question mark on it.
So you could always go, the front of your sweatshirt could say Palestine, the back could say Israel.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, man, it would just be a great conversation. No, but I really think your approach is better. And you should probably go with that one.
Yeah. No, yeah, I wasn't going to try yours. I didn't even consider it. But thanks.
All right, man.
Someone might try it.
It's a bold approach.
All right,
well, I know we're probably going long, man. Yep.
No, I don't know. We're not going anywhere. It doesn't really have a time limit, I guess. But I guess now is a good time to wrap it up. Now that you've forced my hand at this.
Yeah, I mean, I've been beating you down like for weeks now trying to get on here. So thanks again for allowing me on with this busy schedule. I know you're slammed.
Oh, yeah, it's just slammed until I'm off, too, at the end of this year. So for like the last 10 days of the month and going into January. But before then, this last week is just a fucking, it's hell week. Well, I hate it.
Well, hell week, yeah. So, hey, when we all get back from the holidays, I think your idea of doing a group circle jerk could be right on. I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, group circle jerk would be good. I don't know how we would handle that. But
yeah, I don't know either.
I think we need a giant episode where we get at least a couple people to contribute. And I think that has to be game of the year episode. And that could maybe end with a circle jerk. But just something that gives everybody a short window, an opportunity to dip their toe in, maybe say something, 1 or 2 minutes of being on air. Cause I'm finding that people are nervous doing this, and it's something that I never considered because I was like, I did a podcast for 7 years. I can hit record and talk into a microphone by myself for 20 minutes like an idiot. And I didn't consider that people would just be like, oh no, that's not for me. Like, what do I have to say? But you did it, but you're a talker.
I am. I'm definitely an extrovert.
You did well. I enjoyed your story. Would you give anyone some advice if they were thinking about coming on here and chatting? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I'd say just if you have a subject or a story in mind, that's great, but don't feel like you have to stick to it, because of a conversation, it should be freestyle, it should flow, and just let it go wherever it goes and just have a good time. Don't be stressed out about it. Put the extra couple minutes in, sure, about what you want to talk about. But again, it's not going to be a script. Just let it flow. It could just be a very loose script.
There you go. That's it. It's all it takes, guys. I try to also make myself look like a dope at the beginning of the show so that people can see that it's not a big deal. That's it. All right. Well, Drunk, thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Utah, you left an impression on people in Utah.
And I disappeared, man. For 2.5 years, I've been just lurking around.
Was that intentional? Was that a little bit of self-reflection?
No, not
what happened?
Oh, no, there was a... No. No, man, that was definitely a lot, man. That's coming out of I was in a different vulnerable period of my life, and it was a good time. No regrets. You never can. No time for that shit. I think it was mostly just the work, man. I just didn't have time and now I just play TFT like a fucking moron.
TFT is the game, huh?
Nah, I don't think anybody really plays it, but it's a game you can just jump on, play one or two games, and there's no like time sync. There's no progression. I don't get addicted to it. And it's just something I can just decompress to. Like, it's gone are the days of fucking going to Black Desert Online, disappearing, or fucking, you know, Diablo 2, Diablo 4, those kind of things. But I am looking forward to Ashes of Creation, I think, whenever that decides to come out.
Oh, that's never coming out. It's going to be a battle royale fucking money grab.
A lot of fucking hopium, but, you know.
Right.
Oh, segmented. Yep. New set. And I'll have to chip. Anyway, man, I know I'll pop out of here and let you wrap up.
Okay. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, my friend. I'll catch you on the flip side. And I'll see you to all the other Just Okay gamers or Just Okay people. I don't know which you are anymore. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it. A little drunk off scotch coming on here, chatting away. Gosh, what was it? I knew Drunk could talk because at that con, there was a moment. No, I think I just heard stories about it. It was a car ride back from Utah. Back from Salt Lake, and we had to go to Provo back to the house. And he was in the car with Nasty, and I remember people talking about the conversation that Drunk and Nasty had. Just going on and on. Oh, love you, Drunk. But yeah, even if you don't talk, come on this show, I guess. We'll figure it out. I should really pick a day that I do Game of the Year. Let me just pop open a little calendar here. What if we shoot for, maybe like next week, the 26th, the day after thing or after Christmas? We do it a Tuesday, have a little Game of the Year chat. Otherwise, we can wait another week and do it in the new year. That might be the way to do it. Give everybody an extra week to kind of figure out what they want to talk. I'll figure out some criteria and share it in the Discord. Make sure you get that role, that podcast role in the role assignment channel. Just react to that message. And you'll get notified. I'll probably do some sort of like at podcast. And then here's the criteria. If you want to take 5 minutes to say what your favorite game is, what your least favorite game was, maybe we'll do the Just Okay, the most mediocre game. There were quite a few of those. Looking at you, Starfield. Take it from there. Yeah, for next week, I don't know what I'll be doing. So, again, get notified in the Discord and get your opportunity to hop on this show. And that's it. That's all I got for you guys. We'll see you next week. And thanks, Drunk, for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.